Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With Dylan Hafer.
Who gonna check me, boo?
And Barry Rosenfeld.
I need to start drinking alcohol.
Now go to sleep, wee.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer.
And I'm Barry Rosenfeld. Happy Monday. Last day of the month.
Last day of the month. Barry, did you watch the VMAs last night at all?
Did I watch the VMAs? You know, I am a red carpet queen. I cover these. I actually covered it on Shop Betches last night. And it was... I personally think MTV did a really great job, and I think that the show was really put together nicely. Of course, the internet's always going to come for whoever, and they were like, it was cringeworthy. Like, it was taped days before. Like, who cares? That's not the point of the show. I thought it was great.
It was interesting. I didn't watch the whole show, but I was following and watched, like, performances and red carpet and stuff. And it was funny because nobody could figure out where anything was happening, mm-hmm. what was live, what was pre-recorded. So it's funny now we're in this weird in-between time where it's like, we can make stuff happen, but it's not quite normal. So normally it's like you sit down and you watch the VMAs and it's 2 hours of at an arena. And all of a sudden it's like, okay, we have footage from this person and this person's accepting an award, but are they really there? And like Lady Gaga, I feel like Lady Gaga was the one person who was like fully actually there because she was like accepting awards on the red carpet, performing. And then some of them
were just very confusing. Night of Lady Gaga. It was a celebration of Lady Gaga's night, a life, which is I was there for. Like, it was amazing. She was, she even got an award that was made up. It was the first one ever. Like, she just got every award.
Yeah, they gave her an award for the most, I don't know, it's not their, like...
A tri-con?
Yeah, because they have their, like, video Vanguard award that they give to, like... You know, Britney Spears and Beyonce and those people. But, it's like, okay, Lady Gaga, just, like... I mean, it's the VMAs. Who really cares about the awards?
Machine Gun Kelly. He cares about the awards. Which, you know what? I'm glad he finally got a VMA. Like, he came full circle. But...
That was not our most important piece of television last night, though.
No, because I had to obviously make time. Every time something is on the same night, I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, we have to watch Real Houses of Potomac. Like, hello, we have a podcast to record in the morning. So I watched it after, but it was a really great episode.
It was a great episode. I thought this episode was kind of a perfect showcase of what Potomac does so well, because there was... yelling and screaming, there were heart-to-heart conversations, and more than anything, there was so much laughter. We kicked off just a few minutes into the episode with Karen Huger throwing some legendary shade at Gisele Bryant's fashion sense, and oh my God, it was like 4 confessional clips put together of her coming for Gisele's fashions. And I watched it. I was watching ahead of time, and I rewound that clip like 5 times to watch it because it was so funny.
Let's just say Karen said what we were all thinking.
Yes.
I'll just say that.
Karen, you know, Karen is speaking for the people. Later in the episode, she asks if Ashley's booty hole, she is asking about Ashley's booty hole, and I would say that's also something that people have been wondering.
I mean, I wasn't.
Karen also, Karen also, she looks phenomenal this season. I think she, whatever she's doing with her hair, her makeup, her body looks just right. Like, she just looks great.
She does. And when the girls, all the women obviously went to Monique's Lake House this weekend, but they were talking about when Karen showed up, they're like, ooh, look at those top abs showing. Cause she was wearing a crop top with like high-waisted sweatpants. And I was like, top abs are underrated. Like, I loved that moment of the episode because I have these two top abs and I was even checking myself out in the mirror the other day. And I was like, no, should I post it? No.
I love the specificity of the compliment that it's like, it's not like, oh, like,
word, Karen,
it's
Dylan,
it's like, oh,
so
God.
Fancy.
When they're like, it's not just like, oh, Karen, you look good. Or like, oh, you're looking good today. It's like, okay, top abs. I love these women. So we're going to Monique's Lake House, which I had the observation of Monique's Lake House looks like the Real Housewives of Atlanta's regular houses.
Well, the issue, it was so like annoying to me to listen to these women complain about that they were in the middle of nowhere. You're going to her lake house. Like, she has her her home. Like, this, the point of a lake house is to get away. Like,
I don't know. Right. I don't know where, like, what lake house would you be going to? Unless it's like, I don't know, maybe if it's like Lake Michigan or something. But like, most people, when they have a lake house, it's kind of in the middle of nowhere.
And it's to get away. That's the point of it. So it was just so funny. Like, they're like, oh, this drive. Like, where there's no cell phone service, really. I do understand that because it's very, when people choose to disconnect, that's one thing. But when you go somewhere and there is no cell phone service, that is a little, it hits different. Like, so I got that part, but they all go. And of course, here we go again, the room situation. And it wasn't as dramatic as I thought. I was like, wow, no. This is very nicely done, including a guest house.
These women are, you know, they're there to do a job, and they know what their job is, and they don't have time to mess around with their room selection. I did think it was really funny that when Wendy showed up, Monique took great care to list off all of the rooms, even though there was only actually one available and it was going to be sharing with Candace. So that was hilarious to me because I'm like, Monique had a little tinge of Jennifer Aiden there where she just wanted to talk about the rooms.
Yeah, they didn't. Yes, I know what you're saying, but I can't.
She was like, so there's this room, that room, I'm in that one, Karen's in that one, oh, that will be Ashley. Speaking of Ashley,
oh God,
so
I need to know where you stand with this.
I know. So Ashley brings baby Dean, 3-month-old baby Dean, on the trip to the lake with her best friend Eve to kind of be Dean's caretaker while they're there.
But rewind the beginning of the episode, though, when Michael and Ashley are talking about this weekend and Michael's holding baby Dean, who's sleeping, which, by the way, that's not how you hold a sleeping baby. That's a completely side note, though. I was like, oh my God. He was confirming with Ashley that the baby was going with her this weekend. And in my head, even, I was like, why? That's why.
Okay, first of all, Michael is acting as if a 3-month-old baby would literally die if it wasn't with its mom for 3 days, which is just not true.
Like a baby kangaroo, almost.
And then he is saying, like, oh, you know, like, he's acting like he couldn't bear the thought of spending 3 days with his child, which...
It came off very bizarre.
We've seen it's not an uncommon thing for house husbands to be like maybe not putting in equal work in terms of raising the kids. But this especially, it's like he was like guilting her, even though clearly she was already taking the baby. That was already arranged.
But the baby wasn't 3 days old. It was 3 months old. Like it's very different. And also, go to Monique. Monique set up help. Like, to help Chris with all the kids. That was very easily. There's, I can't say I'm watching these shows and knowing that there's more to the story that they're not telling us. Like, I'm dead. I'm like, we signed up for this. Like, I need to know every detail of your life. What is happening?
One last thing. So when Ashley is with Michael, she makes a joke about how he's becoming an ass man. And Ashley, dear Lord, come on. Don't, you can't make it that easy for us. Like, come on. She knows what they've been through on this TV show. And she, now she's making jokes about asses with Michael. Yeah. No.
Yeah. You guys, if you don't know what we're talking about, just slide into the DMs. It's
fine. If you have seen a single season of Real Housewives of Potomac, you know Michael Darby likes to grab an ass.
Calling all my honeys. Support for today's episode comes from Honeylove. Whether you're a bride, a wedding guest, or simply seeking everyday smoothing, Honeylove is the go-to for all things shapewear. Honeylove has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. For a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/MIA. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/MIA. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling Superpower Short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. It's designed to work with your body, not against it. The Superpower Short is helping ladies everywhere sculpt and smooth from stomach to thigh by offering just the perfect amount of compression. You won't have to worry about it rolling down, which is unheard of in shapewear, thanks to flexible boning that's hidden in the side seams. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/MIA. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/MIA. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Shape your life with Honeylove.
So we're back at the lake house and all of a sudden, all the women are there. They're having their champagne because we know they love their champagne. And Wendy doesn't like the fact that Ashley is there with her 3-month-old, but her baby, who is apparently 2 weeks younger than Ashley's baby, or a few weeks younger, is at home. And when I say all hell breaks loose in a blink of an eye, like, that's a perfect example. They just are not on the same page. I mm-hmm. think that it was correct. Wendy just had, like, bottled up anger about this situation and took it out. What they were saying, her delivery yeah. was not there. It was not necessary. All the women were like, what is happening here? You're kind of just like throwing all of this at Ashley. Do I believe that the baby and nanny should have been there? No. But I am not telling anyone how to parent. I don't think anyone's decision is right or wrong. That's just not what I would do. Like, I and as a woman who is there, I don't want to be with a baby and a nanny. And if you're not even going to be with them, why'd they come?
I agree. Okay, the thing for me is that I don't think anyone, Wendy's delivery was certainly lacking. I don't think anyone really did anything wrong in this situation, but other than that, whoever was extending this courtesy or making this happen for Ashley maybe should have checked in with Wendy too, because I don't
Monique?
Think, I mean, but it's a little unclear, like, did Ashley ask Monique if she could bring Dean, or did Monique offer, or...
Monique said she offered. She said if she feels comfortable, he can come.
So I think that's the one thing that is kind of off for me. And when we, mm-hmm. when we spoke with Wendy last week, she was talking about that she just didn't feel like she was kind of afforded the same consideration as having a young baby at home. To me, the term new mom, whatever, I don't really know that there's a solid definition of who is and isn't a new mom.
Yeah, but I didn't like how all the women were like, you're not a new mom. Who are you to tell her how she feels?
Regardless of if she has one baby or three, she has a 3-month-old baby at home, correct. Just yes. like Ashley. And so I think that was the thing that I totally understood Wendy's frustration. Again, mm-hmm. the delivery was a little much, maybe. And it was like right when Ashley got there.
Yeah, it happened very quickly. And so that's why I took it as she was frustrated. But I don't know. If I were an Ashley and I was being spoken to like that right when I walked in with the baby, I would have been really pissed off. But
speaking of this scene in the kitchen, the most spectacular moment.
I almost peed in my pants.
Was when, fittingly this episode, rest in peace, Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
We got a great episode for our own King T'Challa, and he attacks Dr. Wendy.
He didn't attack her. He flew in her direction.
He flew in her face, and all hell broke loose. I love how almost none of the women in this group like being around this bird.
I mean, it's not a... Okay, first of all, I laughed so hard out loud when this happened because of their reactions that you even saw. Monique even ran in. She thought there was an emergency. Like, she thought all the women were screaming at the top of their lungs. But when they showed it slow motion and Wendy, like screaming for her life as if she was in, like, Jurassic Park and a pterodactyl was coming at her, it was so funny. The bird was just flying, but they were even the whole way it happened, the women were talking. They were like, does it fly? Does it fly? But like, birds aren't like a dog or like a, well, I don't like cats, but even, you know what? I'm a dog person, but I only like my own dog for the most part. I don't like when other people's dogs come and sniff me or lick me. I actually think it's very rude that the owner doesn't hold it back or whatever. So if a bird did that, if a bird who poops uncontrollably did that to me, I would not be happy, but I would be laughing about it.
I would flip a shit for a second and then I would laugh about it, but yeah. I would be kind of annoyed. It's funny, my cousins, when we were kids, they used to have pet hedgehogs and-
Someone in college I know bought a hedgehog.
So hedgehogs, if you are not familiar with them, they are not, they're like spiky, but they, if you like pet them the right way or whatever, like they're not like deadly or anything. They're just like, you just have to hold them the right way. But you know, not everybody loves a hedgehog. And my cousins, when we were over at their house, like I would pet them sometimes or like whatever, but I wasn't like overly affectionate with the hedgehogs. And one of my cousins would like sneak up behind you and like put it on your back.
No, I don't know.
Or like put it on your shoulder. And it's like, no. That's just like, please don't. Please don't. And I feel like it's a similar situation where it's like, okay, you have a pet bird who could obviously freak a lot of people out. And so it's like, maybe if people haven't said they're comfortable, just like keep him in his little perch.
Yeah, and I love the fact that on the way there, by the way, it sat in the back seat with Giselle. Like,
oh my God.
Next to her buckled in.
Somebody was saying they want like the full uncut footage of the backseat of that car ride.
I mean, it's funny when T'Challa makes a noise in the product, they put up a subtitle, like it's a yes or no. I'm like, what is happening that T'Challa is like a character on the show now? And it's the funniest thing.
They're leaning into it. And honestly, I think the fans and the viewers are really enjoying it. So it's working.
I don't have a problem.
So we see Candace before dinner go over to Giselle and Robin's guest house. And so watching her like jet off on the golf cart is so funny to me. Like, okay. So they have a little sit down, Candace and Giselle. And I think they actually do a nice job of making up. Mm-hmm. And Giselle apologizes. And she says that she feels like she pinched Candace, and Candace came back with a billy club and a machete with her Twitter fingers.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, there's a lot of words going on in this. But she actually, like, now they're calling it Instagram finger. Like, she just goes on, like, the internet. But I have to say that I said this last week, too. Candace's apology tour is going really well. Like, I think it's the way she's been handling it is really nice. Like, she voluntarily went to Giselle, who's not the easiest person to like sit down and do this, which could be why this is maybe their third or fourth time around doing this in like two episodes. I was like, okay, like, can you guys just like get over it and move on? But they did apologize, and I feel again that this isn't the last time we're gonna see this happen.
No. Honestly, this episode, Candace really didn't have any drama with anyone. Obviously, she's a little apprehensive about Monique. She almost didn't go on the trip because of their issues. But really, this episode, the only real drama this episode was Wendy and Ashley, and then Wendy and Karen a little bit. So speaking of, we need to talk about their dinner. First of all, this backyard setup is beautiful. Despite being in the middle of nowhere, Monique has full kitchen and catering staff, because of course she does. So at the dinner, they're doing one of my favorite things that they do on Real Housewives, where they play a game that's just asking shady questions.
Where they awkwardly go around the table and talk shit about each other in a polite way.
The thing I love about Potomac is that over the course of this game, I feel like there were several questions that could have fueled an entire season storyline on Beverly Hills. But on Potomac, it's like a funny, shady moment, and then they keep it moving. Because, like, think about that, like, first impressions game they played on Beverly Hills or something, and it was like, mm-hmm. Sutton said Teddy was boring, and that was, like, a friendship-ending comment. Whereas on this, it's like, Monique's like, Candace, is that why you got a nose job? And she's like, I didn't get a nose job, and then they just keep it moving. It's light and breezy.
Yeah.
Until it's not.
Yeah, I feel like when she said that, though, like, that... I never know what the point of Giselle's like comments are. Like, did she want to get a rise out of Candace from that?
I think she probably someone said something about Candace getting a nose job online or something. And she just remembered that and just assumed it was true because I didn't think she meant to be malicious. I think it was because they were talking about how Candace grew up as one of the only Black people in her school and that influenced her to study African-American studies. And so I think it was just kind of a continuation of that question. I don't think it was meant to be shady, but obviously Candace not having had a nose job was like, excuse me?
Right.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Did you know that women make up 56% of law students?
It's clear that the future of the legal field is female. So why are so many legal podcasts and reviews authored by men? Hi, I'm Leah Littman.
I'm Kate Shaw.
And with Melissa Murray, we are the hosts of Strict Scrutiny.
Each week, we break down the latest headlines and biggest legal questions facing our country to give you expert views you won't hear anywhere else.
Strict Scrutiny is your guide to the Supreme Court.
New episodes drop every Monday. Make sure to subscribe to Strict Scrutiny wherever you get your podcasts.
So again at dinner, the topic of Ashley's butt comes up, which like I just her booty hole, and I'm just like, can we stop? I don't want to.
Okay,
talk
but
about
Karen,
this I also don't care.
Karen asking if Ashley's booty hole is important to her marriage is one of my favorite things that's ever happened. Karen says that her booty hole is retired, which is good to know. But also, Karen has. She loves the word booty hole, but she also, in this episode, says the word coochie box several times.
Nope, not here for that.
I just love the use of coochie hole, or coochie box.
Stop, Dylan.
I can't speak words anymore because I just can't stop thinking about it. Pussy pop. Also, we saw like a replay of when Wendy said Karen was pussy popping on a handstand. Oh, I love it.
Dylan, have you ever talked about this many like female body parts in one sitting?
Oh my God. I'm reading Teresa Giudice's book and she says Chuckalina on like the third page.
That's so classy. It's like cute, you know? But this dinner is just like, we go around, we're now... It's a dinner of like re-bringing up stuff. So now we're talking about Karen still doesn't know Wendy. Girls, you know each other. Like, get over it. Even when they arrived, they purposely didn't show them saying hello to each other. Like, so it made it seem like they didn't.
Karen posted on Instagram last night a whole paragraph Instagram caption explaining once and for all how she didn't know Wendy. She was like, we have never been in a subcommittee meeting together. And anytime it was a conference call, there wasn't video. And it's like, okay.
Oh my God. Girl, and then the girls were telling her, they're like, Karen, you're on the board with her. And she was saying how like the board is something different than like the meet. And I was like, okay, whatever. What's the reason behind this?
I'm excited for that to come. Like this episode is really Wendy's arrival as like a participating member of the group, I would say. And so I'm excited to see kind of how that, continues to evolve, because we see her getting in some major drama with Ashley, of course. So they bring up this subject again. They're rehashing their argument from earlier, and the editors, God love them, put in, while Wendy and Ashley are arguing, this clip of Candace checking her makeup in a butter knife, which is just, oh my God, this show is perfect. It's like, that is the tiniest little moment. And the fact that they pulled that out of all the footage and were like,
Oh, wait, but so like, good. I've done that before.
Right, but it's Candace with a butter knife.
No, I think I think this is being looked into. Like, I think it's because a spoon is curved, so you can't check your face in that, and a fork has holes in it.
I'm just saying it's funny that they thought to include that.
Right, because Candace, they take the knives away when Candace is usually at a table.
Yes.
I know, but I loved, again, we are left with a to be continued, which I always laugh at because, duh.
So Wendy chooses not to apologize to Ashley, even though she admits that her delivery was not great. And they go from, I would say, like a 3 to an 11 very quickly.
Even Robin kind of came in and explained to Wendy, like, okay, because all the women at this point were like, no, like, you should have apologized. You even just said, these women take the word apology and take it too far. It's not that crazy. It's not like there are different levels of apologizing. She could have literally just been like, I'm sorry for my delivery. We're not asking you to apologize for like your wrongdoings of everything you've done in your life. You're apologizing for what you did, that you even just said what you did was wrong.
Right. And I think part of what allows this show specifically to move along so quickly is that these women are willing to, we see Giselle and Candace and Candace and Monique and Giselle and Monique, all of these different dynamics where they can be like, you know what? That comment was wrong. I apologize for that.
Yeah.
Let's move on. You're not agreeing to be best friends with that person forever. You're not agreeing to, forgive everything and never hold a grudge again. It's like, it's just the way it works to keep it moving. And Ashley says this is why Wendy doesn't have many female friends. And that is when Wendy says that she doesn't have female friends because she doesn't deal with fake bitches like Ashley.
Like you.
Fake bitches like you. She called her out her name, and that doesn't ever go well. And then all of a sudden, they're just like yelling at each other across the table.
I feel like the impression we are getting is that there is some underlying issues between these two. I find it very hard to believe that. I mean, I guess it's happened before where you just meet someone and you just don't vibe and you don't get along. But this has been like, whoa. What?
I felt like I was in a Kenya Moore flashback when Ashley starts yelling, "Gone with the wind, Wendy! Gone with the wind, Wendy!"
Well, Ashley said, "Gone." What didn't she say? "Gone with the wind." She said something.
I know. Why I'm saying it's like a Kenya Moore flashback because Ashley.
She
was
did
Gone
say
with the wind.
It right.
Yeah, she said it like four times.
Okay, I was like, "Wait, that's so weird." Okay, I was like. Why did you say that? No, but I am nervous. Yeah, because Wendy kind of shut it down. She was, which Ashley say, I'm done with you or something. So she was like, it was almost like the friendship just flashed before our eyes right there. But I'm like, no, there has to be more to this. And like, it's funny because we've seen Ashley kind of grow up. She was very young when the show started. I mean, she's still young, but it's interesting to see now her be like a mom and a more mature woman.
Yeah,
and like seeing her like fight with these women, she really can hold her own.
Well, and interestingly, in this dynamic, which we don't see very often, Candace was the one who was trying to kind of stop the fight. She was like, it's too much. It's a lot right now. Bring it down. And yeah, it's interesting. Next episode, we see in the preview, the shit is going to start hitting the fan with this season's Michael Darby scandal, because no season is complete. I feel like, so we're 5 episodes in. I feel like we have already had some really great, drama, attention. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's about to go up to another level.
I mean, and then we also see next week that Ashley is like with Dean and just like taught, like, we'll get through this. And I'm just like, oh God, this is like
that moment where they cut to her. They're like talking about the boyfriend in the hotel room. And then they cut to Ashley like feeding her baby. I'm like, that is dark.
Yeah. I mean, we will certainly have a lot to talk about with that. And it's very weird. It'll come full circle. Like, is that really why Michael didn't want to watch the baby? We will get there. We will talk about it. We will see it. But Dylan, who was your Bravo Leb of this? I love saying this week when it's on a Monday because it's really just of Potomac.
Of Potomac, whatever. I am gonna say I was thinking Wendy because she had kind of her biggest episode yet, but I have to go with Karen Huger for what she said about Giselle's fashions. And she had a very entertaining episode, and I love the Grand Dame. What about you?
Okay, I like that. I am not a fan of Candace, but in this episode, I liked her behavior and how she tried to break up the argument and went to apologize. Like, I kind of just like how she's been handling herself, especially last night. So mine is going to Candace.
The Potomac Peace Prize, if you will.
I just got a stomachache.
Oh no. While Barry deals with that, go rate, review, and subscribe. Thanks so much for listening, and we will be back on Thursday.
Betches.